We're in this series called End of Me. And we started it last week. Pastor Daniel started it last week. Can we thank Pastor Daniel for preaching last week and being here with us? We started this idea, this concept that I think is important for all the time, but certainly when we're starting off a time like this, when we're heading into a season where God is stretching us, where we're Courtney and Port Alberni, where we're a few less pastors than we were even a few months back, where some things have shifted. Sometimes all of a sudden we can get to the place where we recognize that we're at the end of ourselves, where we don't know how to handle the next step, where we don't know where to go with that next thing. And sometimes that can rise up a whole bunch of anxiety in us. What do I do? Where do I go? What's my solution? How do I land now? What financial decision do I make here? What health decision do I make here? Where do I go with my kids in this one? Where do we go with this move in front of us? Where do we go with this? And we can feel like when I'm at the end of myself, when I'm dealing with tragedy that's beyond me, when I'm dealing with health concerns that I can't solve, when I'm dealing with financial hardship that's overwhelming me. What do I do? Where is the gospel in that? And the what we're trying to get ourselves to is the place that we recognize that the end of me is not something that God can work in spite of, but it's actually the very way that God works, the very thing we need to get to before God works his greatest work. We have to be at the end of ourselves. That we need to figure out what it takes for us to be somewhere where we're not in control anymore so that God can be in control. That God wants to move when we're beyond us. And so we started this last week with one of Jesus' first sermons. And the first point that he has in that sermon was, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He quickly shifts everything upside down and says, things are different now. It's not those who are rich and not those who have it all together, but it's actually those who recognize they don't have it all together who are blessed. And then he says, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What God says is once we recognize that our kingdom isn't working, we're going to start to see his kingdom working. Once we start to recognize that we're at the end of our capacity, we start to see his capacity. At the end of our potential, we start to see his potential. At the end of our resources, we start to see his resources. And so it's not a bad thing to be at the end of ourselves. In fact, it's a releasing moment to be at the end of ourselves, to see God and his spirit move in ways that we couldn't move it ourselves. And so that was where he started. And then the second point is this one this week. And we're going to spend 2 weeks on this one. Blessed are those who mourn. What a strange concept. Often we can get in the thinking that if we're Christians and if we're righteous and if we're holy, then mourning shouldn't really be part of our story. Mourning shouldn't really be there for us, because if mourning's there, then that means something's broken. If something's broken, then I must not be a Christian, because everything should be perfect and all set up perfect. And that's what a faith is all about. But Jesus, in his second point, in one of his first sermons, maybe his first sermon, he says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are broken and allow themselves to share it. Blessed are those who are beyond themselves and don't know how to heal themselves. And so they have to express their brokenness to God, share their brokenness with God, pour out their sadness with God. He's not saying blessed are those who are broken. He's saying blessed are those who mourn their brokenness. Because often what we do when we're broken is we just try to tuck it down and say, no, this shouldn't belong here. I shouldn't be broken. I shouldn't be sad. I shouldn't be angry. I shouldn't have pain in my life. I shouldn't have shame in my life. I shouldn't have done that thing. I won't do it again. I shouldn't be afraid of this thing. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. I better just stuff all of these things down. And Jesus shows up and says, actually, I want you to know, blessed are the poor in spirit, but also blessed are those who don't stuff everything down, but actually let it out. Jesus wants to give us healing, but God didn't create us for healing through concealing, but healing through revealing. He didn't, yeah, there you go. There you go, Joe. I wasn't waiting for it, but I sure appreciate it. I like it. See, sometimes we think if I just tuck it away, maybe I'll get all healed and all better. No, you won't. Well, maybe if I just pretend it doesn't exist, it'll go away. No, it doesn't. Or maybe if I know I'm hurting a little bit right now, but if I just gotta man up, you know, I just gotta toughen up. I just gotta get some thicker skin. And I just gotta go for it. And let's just carry on, and we'll just see if we're gonna be okay. But actually, what happens in that situation? And if you've ever done that, you know that instead you start to put up walls. I got thicker skin. No, you've got thicker walls. You're keeping everyone out. Well, I just have learned that I'm not gonna get hurt that way again. Yeah, that's being angry. It's being you're not understanding. You're being rude. You're being unkind. You can't handle your emotions. Right? Well, I'm just protecting myself. And God says, your protection of yourself isn't working. He wants to bring comfort. He wants to bring care. He wants to allow you to walk in healing and wholeness. And it won't happen because of you concealing your hurt, your shame, and your fear, but you revealing your hurt and your shame and your fear to God. And it says, when you do that, when you're willing to mourn, you will be comforted. Isn't that good news? He doesn't say when you're broken, you'll be comforted. Here's some good news for everyone. Maybe it's good news for everyone. We're all broken. If you're in here like, this is awkward, I'm at church and I'm broken, I can't believe it. Welcome to the club. And if you're here and you say, I'm not broken, then church isn't for you. To be honest, if you're not broken, this isn't the place for you, to be honest, because Jesus said he came for the sick. He came for the broken. He came for the poor. He came for the poor in spirit. He came for those who mourn. If you're perfect, this is a really weird spot for you to hang out. I have an interesting illustration that God brought to my mind about this idea of concealing and revealing, and it has to do with my son. My son, he's an interesting little whippersnapper. He gets some funny ideas in his brain. Some of us have had these ideas in our brain, like maybe our nose is a good spot to store some things. And so he, one day he had a pee and he thought, you know what, I bet you this is going to be pretty awesome. My friends are going to really like this if I go ahead and stick this up my nose. And so he goes ahead and he puts the pee up his nose. And I think all of a sudden, one of the students actually, he didn't tell his teacher. Another student's like, teacher, we got a problem over here. And I think Hardy, in his fear or not knowing what to do in this moment, he could have tried to pull it out. And like, if you've ever tried that, it just goes deeper and deeper and you start panicking. And instead of like letting the teacher know, he didn't want anyone to know. He didn't want to see, like, I'm going to get in trouble. If she knows I stuck this up here, it's going to be so bad. So instead of revealing the problem and having her fix it, he shoves it up further. And all of you are like, oh, I can't believe he did that. Doesn't he know that that's so bad for him? I'm so glad that you just gave me that reaction. You're just eating out of my hands right now. It's just the best. Because every single one of us does that with the pain in our lives. Boom, pain is where it shouldn't be. Pain doesn't belong in your heart. It comes in your heart, but it doesn't belong in your heart. Fear comes in your heart, doesn't belong in your heart. Often when I'm putting my kids down at nighttime, I say, is there anything in your heart that needs to come out? Because sometimes we can't protect our heart from what comes in, but we can certainly help get out what needs to get out of there. That's mourning, admitting, repenting, lamenting to Jesus about what it is. And so often we get pain in our heart like, whoop! Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay, I don't know if I can deal with this. And I don't know if I want anyone to see me in pain. I don't know if this is right because I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be in pain. I should be actually happy and happy, always, always good. I'm just going to, and we tuck it down. Oh, that feels so much better. And then all of a sudden, it comes up a little later on. We try to hide it in a new way. And all of a sudden, we're finding we're a little more short-tempered and we're not being that kind. And when we're with everyone else, we can put on our face. And when we're on our own, we're finding we're really sad and we're really broken and we're not doing really well. And Jesus says there's a different system and a different structure that when pain or fear or shame lands in your heart, it's not time to stuff it down and conceal it, but he wants to heal it. And healing comes from revealing. Jesus, will you fix me? Sometimes we come up like this, Jesus, will you fix my heart? Like, sure, show it to me. No. I know what you're trying to do, Jesus. I'm not going to do that because it's really embarrassing, but would you just take care of it without me sharing it? No. Well, I just want you to do something because it doesn't feel that good. I know it doesn't feel that good. It doesn't belong in your heart. Get it out. mourn it, communicate it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is when we get to the end of ourselves. Jesus is starting to teach the people about what it looks like to be at the end of themselves. Are you poor in spirit? Good. You don't have everything you need? Good. You can't accomplish everything you're supposed to accomplish? Good. For the kingdom is about to show up in your life. You're hurting? It's okay. You're afraid? That's okay. You share that with me. Mourn it with me. Be broken with me. Share what's going on in your heart with me. Because if you want to keep it down there, then it's yours to handle. But if you want to get it out here, then it's mine to handle. Let me handle it. Let me care for it. Let me look after it for you. There's a verse that I often think of when I think of people who are mourning. And it's in Psalm 34. And it talks about the idea that God draws near to the brokenhearted. And so I was this week, I'm like, Lord, with mourning, show me something about mourning. Show me something about what you want to speak about this. Show me what that means for being at the end of ourselves. What does it mean to be blessed when we mourn? What does that mean to be comforted in that way? And so I wanted to go there, and remembering the great comforter, and the great comforter draws near to the brokenhearted. But the verse that verse wasn't the one that stood out to me this time. Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. But Psalm 34, 17 says, the righteous cry out. I loved that. Because often we think the righteous have no need to cry out. The righteous are strong enough to handle their own problems. The righteous know what it is to walk in bravery and courage and in strength. The righteous know how to read their Bible, and then they're going to be good for the rest of time. Listen, I don't know if you know this or you understand this about Christianity, but righteousness never starts to come from you. Righteousness will never be a new dependence on your religious practices or your biblical understanding or your church attendance. Righteousness never transfers from Jesus and now it's mine to carry. It will always be on Jesus, and righteousness will simply be your greater dependence on him. Righteousness isn't, okay, Lord, you gave me righteousness and now I'll carry this. See you later. Righteousness is saying, I've learned to cry out sooner. Because I know right away that I can't handle this. I've tried. The righteous are a lot kinder. Say, so why are they kinder? Yeah, they've learned to be kinder. No, because they've learned to not keep bitterness in their heart. They've mourned it. God, I was rejected hard today. I was hurt. That person really hurt me, God. I feel it. It just rocked my soul. It made me question my identity. It made me question everything about who I am, God. And God says, oh, are you mourning? Here's some comfort. Also, I'm like, oh, I settle into who I'm supposed to be. The righteous have learned to call out, have learned to cry out. The righteous haven't learned to handle all their problems. They've learned where to take their problems. Good. Haven't learned how to figure, okay, now I know how some new coping mechanisms. Except my coping is purely in the one who can handle it. That's it. And this is righteousness. The righteous cry out. Well, maybe I don't have to cry out as much once I'm righteous. No, you have to cry out a whole lot once you're righteous. Might be for different things. But your righteousness will always be found in your crying out. God, I'll take this one. You lose your righteousness. Jesus, you take this one. Righteous. Your righteousness is how much you'll allow Jesus into every aspect of your life. Because he's the only one that's righteous. I don't know if that bursts your religious bubble or not. But to me, it's so freeing. And I want you to know this is really good news for many of us, because sometimes when we think of righteousness, we start to think of a hierarchy. Okay, I've climbed a little ways up now, God, and I'm sort of somewhere around here. And because of my upbringing and because of my attendance and because of how long I've been doing this, I'm probably somewhere up around this place, and that's good. And this person somewhere down here, and they started to climb, but they don't have as good a parents as me, or they didn't have as many opportunities. They probably are only ever going to get to here in righteousness. And so how about that? And Jesus says, actually, righteousness won't be found here, and it won't be found here. It'll be found here. When you can't create it for yourself, you'll discover it in him. Jesus wants to move in you. He wants to have his Holy Spirit lead you and empower you and strengthen you. Not because you can do it on your own, but because you can't. God, I don't know if I can handle this situation. No, but I can. God, I don't know if I can admit this. I feel so ashamed of my actions. I shouldn't act this way anymore. Jesus says, oh, let me comfort you. Let me come to you. Let me look after you. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Worship team, you can come on up. You know, I think a lot of our anxiety comes from the things that we hope to solve within us, and they never get solved. God, I just want to figure out my future, and I want to know where I'm going, and so I'm just going to go ahead and put that here, and that's driven by a little bit of fear. I don't know if I can trust where things are going. I don't know if I can trust where you're going to lead me. I don't know if I can trust you're going to be there, God, and so I'll just keep this here for myself. I can handle my future best, and we recognize as time goes on that we can't. Our future can't be handled by us. Maybe you're saying, well, yeah, I got myself financially figured out, but then all of a sudden there's a death in your family. Your finances all of a sudden mean nothing to you. You say, well, wait a second. I knew I had it solved. The righteous cry out. The righteous recognize their brokenness. The righteous recognize their limitations to handle things. So anxiety often comes from this space of us just holding on to things and trying to resolve what we can never resolve, trying to fix what we can never fix, trying to handle what we were never made to handle, trying to look after the things that God never asked us to look after. And so Jesus invites us, cast your anxiety on me. Why? Because I care for you. And because those who mourn will be comforted. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, either as a kid or maybe as an adult or with one of your kids or not, but I know for my kids, when I'm walking with them, I know when something's hurting them on the inside, because they start treating me differently. Start not coping with their emotions that well. They're just sort of hurting. And so I can come up and say, hey, change your actions, change the way you're behaving, change all these things, and then you'll be good. Or I can show up and say, hey, what's in your heart? It's amazing what my kids will do. They sort of like fight it for a while, right? No, I'm not. Dad, get out of here. What are you doing? Just walls and push back, and I don't want to know. I don't want anyone in here. I don't want anyone in my heart. But the moment that all of a sudden they say, okay, no, my heart, they break down. And I hug them, and they just sort of melt into me. Sometimes it's my hug that starts that. Hey, just so you know, I love you. All of a sudden, the trust that they put in me, they can just feel, I can feel the weight of what was in their heart falling off. I used to do that as a kid. My mom was the one for me. I don't know if you have one of those in your life, but I would feel like with my friends, I needed to sort of brush off my pain, you know, fall down on my knee like, oh, okay, I'm fine, don't worry. And then I'd see my mom like, I hurt myself. Oh. I wanted to be comforted. And some of us are limping around with wounds in our hearts. Pain in our heart, shame in our heart, fear in our heart. We're like, oh, I'm okay because I'm a Christian. Isn't this an awesome life? Oh, I hate this. Oh, this hurt. And then God shows up and we have a chance to go, oh, God, I'm broken. I've been carrying this for everyone. I've been trying to look a certain way and it's not working. I'm failing left, right, and center. Lord. And we have a chance to go and be comforted by the one who shows up, says, hey, I want your morning. I don't want your perfect. I want your morning. I don't want your righteousness. I want mine in you. I don't want your perfection. I want mine in you. I don't want your power. I want mine in you. But you get it at the end of you, at the end of yourself. So I want to have a chance to pray for you today. Maybe we could just, for a second, bow our heads, close our eyes for a second. You may be brand new here. You've been here a lot before. Like I said, none of you have more access to Jesus. Right, our righteousness doesn't give us access to Jesus. Our repentance and our mourning gives us access to Jesus. So today, he's inviting you, wherever you're at in this room, whatever space you're at, whatever faith you have so far, whatever ability you have to see it so far, he's inviting you to allow what's in you to come out and be exposed to him so he can heal it and comfort you and bring you life. And so just with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you about those three things: pain, shame, or fear. And maybe you identify with one of those. So for you, is there a pain in your heart? Maybe it's from years and years ago. You've been walking around with it. You felt like you needed to be perfect because you felt the pain of your parents' rejection years ago. Is there a pain right now and a tragedy in life that's taking place? Is there a pain in loss? Is there a pain in a shift in your finances that's weighing on you? Maybe it's shame today. Maybe you're a Christian. You say, I've been a Christian a long time. Why am I still doing this thing? And you've learned that hiding it is the only safe spot. And Jesus just wants to invite you and say, hiding it with me is not a safe place. Revealing it with me is a safe place. So maybe there's something you're ashamed of. You did something. Maybe it was a one-time act, or it's a hidden addiction that you have. And Jesus is inviting you to mourn that, to take the turmoil on the inside of you and share it with him. Or maybe today it's fear. Say, well, I'm afraid right now. I'm afraid that my circumstances might never change. I'm afraid that the stuff I'm walking through right now is always going to exist the same way. I'm afraid that my kids are never going to come back to me. I'm afraid of what's going on in the political world right now. Maybe you've allowed that fear to turn into control for you, and you've tried to control situations, and that's increased your anxiety. Today, Jesus is saying, will you mourn that? Will you cast that anxiety on me? And so for just a second, just in the quiet of your own, just you speaking it out, but just between you and God, would you just whisper whatever that thing is? Just say it out loud to him. Jesus, I'm ashamed of this. Jesus, I feel the pain of this. Jesus, I'm afraid of this. Jesus, thank you that your word tells us that when we mourn, you comfort. So I just pray that we would learn to be people who mourn the pain inside of our lives. Just bring that forward to you, that share that with you, that let you know about that, that mourn the shame in our lives. Can't believe I did it again, God. I can't believe I hurt you again. I know what I need to do, and I can't seem to do it. pray that we'd be people that mourn that, the fear in our lives. I can't give up control, Lord. I keep trying to control that thing and it's not working. Trying to control our political environment. I'm trying to manage things. I'm trying to convince people of things because I'm afraid of what will happen if I don't. And I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Jesus, thank you. As you lead us to trust you, that we would pour out that kind of turmoil to you, that we would allow what's inside of us to be spilled out and exposed to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you promise we will be comforted. Help us to know your comfort because you care for us. God, I thank you for every person in this room, some of them going through some really big things. Thank you, Jesus, that you've already been speaking to people this morning about this. Pray that you would continue to do so. Teach us, Lord, how to thrive and be okay being at the end of ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that you never asked us to have everything all together. You just asked us to look to you when we don't. So God, we look to you. Holy Spirit, as we do, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here, everyone. I want you to pick up that practice. Practice telling God what's actually going on in your heart. He can handle your fears. He can handle your sin that you're ashamed of. He can handle the pain that you think you shouldn't be feeling anymore. And in fact, he wants to comfort you as you do. If you're new here, you want to get connected, please fill out a Connect card. We'd love to know where you're at. There's some sitting right here or at the table at the back or at the info center. Get signed up for a small group. Get connected. If you need some prayer, there'll be some people that can pray with you here. But for the rest of you, have a really amazing week. Take care. Come on back next week. Keep praying for Port Alberni because God is doing something great. One church, two cities. God is moving. Amen. God bless you all. See ya.